Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happened to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichku today.
Worshiping. Le care de sundelibre de candara de sofrahata. We bless you, Father. We bless you, King of Glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have worshipped. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your hand. We thank you for your voice. We thank you for your eyes and your face. Much more, we thank you for the fullness of your glory made manifest in our midst. We worship you. We believe in our hearts that we are gathered in your name, and we believe in our hearts that your spirit is manifest in the fullness of your glory, even in our midst, in the name of Jesus Christ. Speak to us. And spare nothing. Hold nothing back. Have your way by your spirit. As your word goes forth, I pray that grace, even your grace, be poured out in our hearts. I pray that our hearts be strengthened. And I pray that your faith be stirred up in our hearts. I pray that wisdom be imparted to our hearts. And much more, that will take hold today of the fullness of the blessings that you've ordained through your word, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let me hear you say a very big amen. Give the Lord a very big clap offering of praise. Come on, bless the Lord. Give him, make it big, make it big, make it big. Make it big, make it big. Hallelujah. Welcome everybody by your side. Make sure you get to know their names. You get to know who they are. Make sure there will be no stranger by your side today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go straight. I want us to pay attention. Yesterday, we started with the power of effective praying, or effective prayers. The power of effective prayers. And we looked at James chapter 5, verse 16. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's the B portion of that scripture. Everybody read it again with me. One, to go. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Louder. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And that's our focus. We want to produce divine supernatural results when we pray. We want the kind of prayer that works powerfully, that avails much, not little, that produces intended results and much more. And we also looked at it from the Amplified. We looked at the Amplified translation of that scripture. I want you to hold the person by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in his walk. Ask your neighbor, what will your life be like? Ask your neighbor, what will your life be like when your prayers produce this kind of result? How many of you can imagine what your life will be like? What will your family be like if you can pray for your family and about your family and make tremendous power, the very power of God, not any other kind of power, the might of God, dunamis, available, then dynamic in its working. It starts working. What happens when our prayer life works? When it works? So I want us to get back to the New King James and get me to verse 17 of New King James. Let's see an example of someone who prayed. Elijah was a man with a nature like us, like ours. And he prayed earnestly. Somebody say he prayed earnestly. That it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Why is he telling us that Elijah was a man with a nature like us? He had physical body, not heavenly body. In fact, he was actually under the old covenant. Though anointed of God as a prophet, he was under an old covenant. He operated under the glory that fades. We have a better covenant. We have the glory that excels. The glory that abides and excels. We have the real deal. He prayed earnestly and it would not rain. And it did not rain on that land for 3 years and 6 months. Look at verse 18. And he prayed again when it was time for it to rain, and the heaven gave rain. Can you imagine that a man can, on this side of eternity called earth, a man can pray and the heavens will give what he prayed for? He prayed again and the heaven gave. This year, 2025, we'll be praying and the heaven will be giving. Who believes that? Does God show favoritism? Does God show partiality? Every man that fears him and does his word and practices righteousness in all nations, from every tribe, from every tongue, no matter the race, no matter the gender, no matter the age, every man is accepted of him, will get the same results. Prayed and the heaven gave. Kai, that's the picture I'm seeing. Praying and the heaven gives. And the earth produced its fruit. So we are seeing that the kind of prayer that avails much, or better put, when our prayers avail much, the heavens move, the earth is impacted. The heavens move, the supernatural moves, the natural is impacted. That's what we are seeing here. And so yesterday, we started focusing on the elements. There are keys for you to be effective in prayer. You must understand the keys and the principles of prayer. Different kinds of prayer and the principles guiding them. There are different kinds of prayer and there are specific principles guiding them. And they are not mysteries to us who are born of the Spirit. They are not mysteries to us who have come to Christ. The Spirit of the Lord has revealed them in His Word. And when we stay on the Word, study the Word concerning it, you're going to receive the revelation. The revelation is already right there in God's Word. They are not mysteries. So, yesterday we focused on two of them. One is the boldness of what? Righteousness. The boldness of righteousness. Because it is the prayer of the righteous. The prayer of the righteous that avails much. Not the prayer of the ashamed. Not the prayer of the guilty. The prayer of the righteous. And that's what we took time to work on. The righteous is as bold as a lion. Say, therefore, come what? Boldly. Are you in church today? Therefore, come what? To the throne of grace. To obtain mercy. And to find grace to help in any time of need. Whenever you need God's help. Whenever you need God's intervention. Whenever you need God's manifestations. Whenever you need revelations of God. Direction from God. Whatever it is. You will find grace to help in time of need. Can you imagine what will happen in our lives? Every aspect of our life, spiritually, ministerially, emotionally, relationally, in our families, mentally, skill-wise, in matters of wisdom, in our careers, in our businesses, in our finances, physically, our health, our strength. What will happen in our lives as it concerns our interaction socially, our place in the society, the impact we must make politically, in terms of leadership, what will happen? Every aspect of life, if we enjoy help every time we have any need. I'm about to make a statement that you should not take lightly. After you received Christ, the two most important things in your life after you've received Christ is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit. To form the habit of studying and meditating on God's word and then praying effectively. These two things. Studying and meditating on God's word habitually. I mean habitually, not based on how you feel, based on how the Spirit of the Lord gets to move you sometimes. So you study a lot today and then you don't study again for some time. And then after a while you're inspired again and you feel like, okay, you study again. No, habitually. It's not what people do sometimes that changes their lives. What makes the most mark in our lives is what we do daily. What makes people successes? What makes a man a success is what he does daily. Successes do daily what mediocres do often and what failures are always afraid to do. Seldom do. Successes do daily what mediocres do often, here and there, often. And failures seldom do. Most times they are afraid to do it. They don't have the heart to commit to do it. These two foundations Once you're built there, grounded, rooted, in such a manner, it becomes a second nature. Once you learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, because He's the one who's going to do that, it's Christ living in us, walking in us. So it's a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And you form that habit where the least in a day, day and night, every single day. You know, what you do consistently becomes a habit. And a habit you practice consistently becomes a second nature. It becomes a second nature. Day and night, that you have time, you study the word, and you meditate. That even if something happened and you were so busy, something happened and there were too many people all around, maybe there was an occasion in your house, an event, and the whole relatives, you know, came around, friends came around, no space for even you to have that quiet time, and all you can squeeze out is just a little time. You have that little time, whether you have to go to the restroom or go somewhere, and even if it is 2 verses of the scriptures, that you're going to stay there and read it, that nothing will ever make you excuse it. Somebody say, day and night. Say, in His word, I will meditate day and night. Say it again. In His word, I will meditate day and night. That's the first thing. The second one is when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit to pray effectively. Now, the scripture charges us to pray without ceasing. That means we can pray about everything and we can pray all the time. And one of the ways you do that is to stay in communication in your fellowship with the Holy Spirit. There is a participation. You know that you're doing life with the Holy Spirit. So you wake up in the morning, oh, I love you. I bless you, Lord. Thank you for watching over me, watching over my family, watching over this whole neighborhood. We woke up sound in health. We woke up to purpose. Father, I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. You are the source of my life. You are my light and my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are the health of my countenance. You are my joy and you are my peace. You are much more than I would ever desire. Today, I lift my voice and praise you. You have made me the living in the land of the living. And your word commands, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So with this breath, I praise you. With my mouth, I bring you an offering that let my speech today, the meditations of my heart, the lifting of my hands, be a sweet aroma to you. You're praying like that, and you're praising God. Now, you not enter your quiet time where you study. You meditate on the scripture, you pray about the day, you commit the day into the hands of the Lord. If you've been raised in the act of success, you should have prepared for the day before time. Either you do it the night before you sleep, or you already have goals set out. I always teach you never, ever to enter a day without set goals. Is that right? That's how you maximize your days. That's how you manage your time. You must have set goals. Set goals. And so you set those goals. You commit your ways into the hands of the Lord. And you say, Father, I trust in you. I acknowledge you. In all my ways today, direct my paths. Establish my ways. Bring them to pass. And then you prophesy over your day. And you command the day to work for you. You command creation to work for you. You begin to command favors from the four corners of the earth. You command, and then you bind the devil and tell him to stay clear of your house. Stay clear of your day. Stay clear of your life. And you do all those things and you worship. Now, that's what we might call the morning devotion. That's what we call our quiet time. In that moment is a consecrated time. You have set it apart for the Lord and you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit. You're not with your phones. You're not doing anything, looking at your phone for anything. In fact, if you normally will read Bible on your phone, in that time, don't use the Bible on your phone. Because you'll be tempted to look at something else. You want to give the Holy Spirit your full attention. You don't want any kind of distraction. Wave your hands if you're here. Are you getting what I'm saying? But after you're done that, maybe you exercise, maybe you did a little thing, fix yourself a breakfast, or whatever it is you do, take a shower, you're getting ready for work, you're getting ready for school, you're getting ready to drop your children to school and then move, whatever it is you're doing, and then you're about to pick your colors. You finish morning devotion, and you're thinking, should I wear this tie or wear this tie? And then you say, Spirit of the Lord, which one should I wear? That's prayer. It's called, may the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and what? Forever. That word koinonia, one of the meaning means friendship. Somebody say friendship. So it is beyond I'm having devotional prayer. I can have friendship communication. The Holy Spirit lives in me and I'm aware of it. I live with the consciousness of it. So I can talk to him anytime about anything. And I can be quiet and have him speak to my heart with that still small voice. And however he chooses, and sometimes he can speak to me with an audible voice. I can even turn and think someone is talking to me. And sometimes he can speak to me just with a witness, without uttering a word. There's just a knowing. Just a knowing. Just like if you have a relationship. I have a relationship with my wife. And then she comes, you know, into the room. Sometimes I'm preparing for service. I'm preparing for something. Then she says a word. I turn my face. And I won't say a word. She already knows what I said. I've not said a word. But just my face, she knows what. How many of you were raised by mothers that if they look at you, you get the instruction? How many of you were raised like by mothers like that? So what does that call? Somebody say inward witness. Our mother's own was wasing witness. I was you. Just by a look. So when you learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you get to that place in your life when he doesn't have to say a thing. Just by the look of his eyes, you know. You just know. There is a witness. There is a peace. And somebody say, how can we explain it? I say, you can't explain it. It's a witness. Only the one with the nature of God and only the one that is indwelt by the Spirit of the Lord can know it. You can't explain it. You just have a knowing. Somebody say, a knowing. Come on, say it, a knowing. Say a witness. You just know this is what God wants you to do. This is what God wants. Today I was sharing with Mama how I woke up in the morning and there was a whole lot of tussle in my spirit. And the feelings were just everywhere and they were not natural feelings. The Lord has trained me and I've worked with him for some years to distinguish between my natural feelings and when I'm having certain experiences in the spirit. And so I can distinguish by the grace of God between these two. And a whole lot was happening. I tried to do this. It wasn't gelling. I tried to do this. You know, you're trying to do something. It's as if you're taking your bath with your clothes on. It's as if you're trying to wear a shoe that doesn't fit. I just knew. But I didn't get any clear instruction until this afternoon. It was just a tussle in the spirit. Just a tussle in the spirit. And then, after a while, he just told me, he said, be quiet. I just heard him say, be quiet. That's all. Just be quiet. Mixer, fixer. I like to fix things. He said, just be quiet. So I became quiet. And in the stillness, in that quietness, a knowing. It just, as if something that was drowned, something that was sitting in the
in the depths of a river, of a sea, just floated on top. It just floated, and I came into the awareness. I came into the knowledge of it. I just knew what it was. And I say, I say, Lord. He say, yes. That was when he now started talking to me and said, what did we discuss? We discussed something. And he told me, he said, so are you seeing it now? How you can have new information. You can come into new knowledge. You can receive new light. And yet, you've received it. You intend to practice it. And yet, in execution, your old habits, your old mindset still comes out. You just go back doing what you used to do. Tell your neighbor the old mindset is very stubborn. Very stubborn. You just notice that you're going back to do what you used to do. And so he said, let's break it down. Look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. I said this to. I called Mama. Mama was on phone. I called Pastor Koma. I said, Pastor Koma, see what's going on in my spirit. See. And Pastor Koma said, Pastor, I got the same witness. I actually wanted to bring that to your notice, but I felt that maybe God was leading you differently. I said, no, my dear, next time bring it to my notice. I called Mama. Mama had finished from the phone. Mama now comes out. And I said, Mama, look at this, look at this, look at the dealings I'm having with the Lord. And Mama said, I felt the same thing, but I thought it was personal. And so, in the mouth of 2 and 3 witnesses, I knew, you know, there are people I call my assistant prophets. So I knew it wasn't just, I knew that witness was there. And so I said, Lord, I submit. Oh, I thank you. I thank you. And then I lifted my hands. I said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God unto pulling down of strongholds. I say, you old mindset, old ways of doing things, you old patterns that had worked for me in the past, worked for the church in the past, now you have been rendered old, obsolete. In the name of Jesus, I shatter you. The light shines and no stronghold can withstand it. In the name of Jesus. And I began to confess and then confess the word and confess the word and confess the word. And then I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. And I started taking steps immediately. You see, so I can pray all the time by learning to participate with the Holy Spirit. I finished my devotion about, I want to now eat my breakfast. I want to take my lunch. Do I pray? I give thanks. I walk into my office. And as I'm walking into my office, I said, Father, thank you for this business. I prayed at home. But this odd prayers cannot happen just a few seconds, a few minutes here, a few minutes there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's a participation. Somebody say a participation. You let the Spirit of the Lord into your choices. You let the Spirit of the Lord into your decisions. You let the Spirit of the Lord into your actions. By talking to Him all the time, by listening to Him to hear what He will say, by paying attention to what's happening within your spirit. Because the Spirit, the Bible says, Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. So if He bears witness that we are sons of God, He will also bear witness that you are in the will of God or you're not in the will of God. He can bear witness of everything else. He can bear witness. So when we say pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean that the devotional time that we consecrate must stay 24 hours. No. But it means that we can pray. Somebody say, pray about everything. Say, talk to God about everything. Help me turn to your neighbor. Say, talk to God about everything.
Wave your hands if you are in church.
But you see that consecrated time. Somebody says set apart
time.
That set apart time, that quiet time. Two prescriptions. Daily. Day and what? And all of us are created differently. Uniquely. Some of us are more sharp. Sharper when we are awake in the night. Some of us don't do night. How many of you are not night crawlers here? Let me see your hands. You like night. You're more awake in the night. You concentrate better in the night. Okay. I don't do night. My day starts from 4 a.m. 4 a.m., 4:30. I wake with the rising of the sun. I'm a sun person. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, Pastor, why don't we do all night? Like, I do all night sometimes. In fact, there are many days in a week that by the time I close my eyes, it will be around 3, and around 4:30 is up again. Minimum sleep. Some days like that. And then I'll find somewhere else I can donate back the sleep. Okay? And there are days like that. You can't do what we do without certain times praying, studying, and you're into the night. In fact, a particular night, a wonderful pastor reached out to me, and I immediately answered. He said, Pastor David, are you not sleeping? I said, man of God, I'm meditating. He said, by this time. I said, man of God, you, what are you doing by this time? And we started laughing. Okay, but it has to be that the Spirit of the Lord moves me into it. Like the Spirit of the Lord drove Jesus to the wilderness. There was no other wilderness after that. Amen. He could isolate himself in lonely places to pray, but that was the only experience. But that's important. So you choose your own time. One of them should be the one you spend most of the time. The other will be shorter time. Find the one, either in the morning or in the night, but you must give quality time. For starters, I used to preach, if you can start with 10 minutes, with 15 minutes, that's not really it. I found out the greatest poison a believer can take is a little prayer. Nothing kills your spiritual life like little prayer. So, I don't know which minister teaches those things that start with 10 minutes. Don't start with 10 minutes, start with 1 hour. And you won't die. Let's stop excusing nonsense. Nobody likes what he hates. Nobody. If you stay for 1 hour, put off your phone, you won't die. We will die. So why is somebody now saying, if you can do 15 minutes? I mean, you're talking to someone that has the power of the Holy Ghost inside him. And we are telling him, if you can do 15 minutes. 15 minutes for what? For who? And then after a while, the person is malnourished. Then you say, why don't we tell you, if you can start by eating 2 spoons of rice a day? Let's teach believers from the infancy of faith the discipline of waiting on the Lord. What did I say? The discipline of what? Your target is 1 hour. If you do less than an hour, you've not done anything wrong. You've not committed any sin. And you shouldn't go out with guilt. But you should know that that's what you're aspiring to. And you will have to come back. Discipline yourself again. You see, we've got to learn to discipline ourselves. Somebody say discipline. These two things are key. These two things are key. Day and night. That we meditate on God's word. Studying and meditating on God's word. And we're going to have some series on that. And maybe Pastor John is very anointed in teaching that. She's very, very anointed. Teaching us how to study the Bible. How and different patterns you can use to study the Bible to be very effective. And we're going to do that. And maybe we're going to run it in some first services for a while. Run it like that. How to have a devotion. And then we'll make sure we record all of them and tape them. And then get them out in the series in their tapes. I don't want to hear media people that anything happened to your system, happened to your hard disk. So if you need to record with 3 different systems, and you need to put it or store it in
3 different hard disks do that, but don't give me any excuses. So we can take those things, and also we can put it out on a YouTube channel. We can make it available to as many people as possible. You can use that and learn. But the moment, hear me, the moment you start staying in the Word of God, because that is first and most important if you're going to have effective prayer, if you're going to pray effectively. The moment you start doing that and you start learning to pray habitually, somebody say habitually. Come on, say it habitually. And for you to form habits, it has to happen the same time, every time. Set it out. A disciplined schedule. Once you get it, you will notice that the trajectory of the flight of your life changes. You just notice that your life moves on a daily basis, upward and forward. There may be days the devil will want to try to do overwork, to try to challenge. There may be obstacles you will face. There may be enemies that may want to try to come against you. But one thing you'll be sure, you always win. You always come out on top. It may not even be about you. It may be an attack of the enemy on a whole family, or on a company, or on a community, on a city, or on a nation. And what is drowning others, destroying others? Hello, the same water and the same flood that destroyed mankind in the flood of Noah was the same flood God used to take the ark to his destination, to his resting place. The same flood. So the same flood that is making others perish, you will be floating on top of it. Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Wave your hands if you are getting it. Somebody say effective prayer. Learning to pray. Learning to pray. Learning to pray. So the first thing we taught us as a first key. Let me hear you shout it if you got the first key of effective prayer. Come on, if you're in church, shout it louder. The what? The boldness of righteousness. The second key to effective praying, I told you yesterday, is the earnestness, the fervency of prayer. It must be earnest and heartfelt. I shared with you yesterday that there are different times you're communing and communicating with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of the Lord may even inspire your heart to pray in tongues, or to sing a song of worship or a song of praise, and you'll be doing other things while doing that. But when it is set apart time, like church is set apart time. Tell your neighbor, church is set apart time. I'm not hearing you. Say, church is set apart time. When it is set apart time, consecrated to the Lord, your quiet moments, day and night, set apart. Set apart. And all of us that do family altars and family prayers with our family, please, when you're through, do your personal prayers. Keep your family prayers shorter and get your personal prayers what? Longer. Then, as your children are growing more, you'll now take them after the family prayer, teach them their personal prayer. And now discipline them and inspect that they pray longer while you inspect. They have to learn personal prayers. Every child has to. Now, I'm going to say this. Never forget this. I'm about to say something. Never forget it. When you offer God any offering, And one of the spiritual offerings that the new creation offers on the altar, one of the spiritual sacrifices is prayers. Prayers is a spiritual sacrifice. When you offer to God any sacrifice and you don't do it wholeheartedly, from the depths of your heart, He doesn't accept it. Every half-hearted prayer is a wasted prayer. And that's why I say it. I said it yesterday. I said, why come to church and not be in church? Why come to church and find different reasons why you're going to be occupied, distracted? You can't actually sit still for 2 good hours in church, for 1 hour, 30 minutes, and move from prayers to worship, to the word, to prayers, to giving thanks, and do it wholeheartedly without distractions. Looking through your phones, looking for who to talk to, walking out, because people are addicted to different things. Now, if you couldn't stay in church for 1 hour, 30 minutes, for 2 hours, how in the world are you now praying for 2 to 3 hours personally? That means you can't even do it privately. And that's dangerous. Why we are telling you to start with 1 hour, that's just the beginner's level. Start with 1 hour. It's like tithing is beginner's giving. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When we say 10%, that's for beginners. How then are you going to be able to pray sometimes for 7 hours? Because you've got to attend there. As busy as you are, you should have 1 day in a week. You should have some days in a month that you make sure you minimize all your activities to have quality time. You must give Jesus by His Spirit quality time in prayer. Can I give you one advice? It will help you. Can I? How many of you genuinely have noticed? Now, I won't say you, but that people are very addicted to their phones. Is it affecting our attention span? I'm asking. Use personal prayer times, your devotional time, and use your time in church as a tool, a weapon, to cut off the dominance and control of technology over your life. So when coming to church, put your phone on silence within the time of service until your tool. On silence and put it away. Don't take message notes on your phones. What you're doing is that you're breaking the power of that addiction. And you're telling the phone, I own you, you don't own me. I determine. So if you're someone like me that likes to use other kinds of electronic device, have a dedicated tab that when you see that tab is exactly for either serious work and your spiritual work, or come with a message note. But break the power of phones. Break it immediately. Break it. In meetings, just remove. So make sure that in that your tab you're going to be using, you don't put social things there. Nobody sends you messages there. It's either for work and for what? Church. So you enter certain serious-minded meetings, you bring it out. So you're not in meetings checking what's happening on Twitter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. Do this for yourself. Very key. Very important. If you're learning something, say, I learn. Come on, say, I increase in wisdom. Shout it boldly. Say, I increase in wisdom. So let's look at the third element of prayer I want to show you. Effective prayer. Prayer that works. The third element we are going to be talking about today is that you pray in faith, not doubting. Pray in faith, not doubting. James chapter 1 verse 5. Pray in faith, not doubting. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him pray to God, ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, help me hold your neighbor and say, what you may want to pray for may not be wisdom. But whatever it is that God has, and you know he has everything, that you want from him, if you desire it, ask of God. Say, pray to God. Who gives to how many people? In what measure? That means generously. He doesn't mind. He doesn't withhold. He gives generously to all. And guess what? And without finding fault. Give me that scripture, James 1:5 in the Amplified. I want to see this. Oh, that neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Hear the word of the Lord. Read to your neighbor, one, two, go. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. Who gives to everyone what? And ungrudgingly without or. So when you ask God for something, it doesn't say, no, the other time you did this. Were you not the one that lied yesterday? You now woke up this morning, you say you want to ask me about this. You're joking. Were you not the one that I told to go and do this and you refused to do it? Now you're praying to me. So now you remember me. Come on, get out here. God is not man. God is not man. God has a nature. It's not just that he's willing, it's his nature. He is the giving God. That's what it is. So whenever you think of God, think of him as the giving God. Say, I serve the giving God. Raise your hands and declare it in worship. Say, I serve the giving God. Let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly without reproaching or what? So is that not enough reason to approach with the boldness of righteousness? I have a right standing with God. I am at peace with God. God is at peace with me. I'm accepted in the beloved. God sees me as faultless, without reproach, before his presence. And the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So that boldness of heart, that boldness, that confidence. When we now even begin to talk about the knowledge and faith that God loves us. When you're perfected in love, perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear where there is love. No fear. I just know I will talk to my father. If he has a rebuke, he will rebuke me, but it will be for my good. His rod and his staff will comfort me. He will chasten me, but it's for my good. But I love this God and I know he loves me. So I'm going to approach him in prayer boldly. Somebody say boldly. You have to know that God is not a judge for us. No. He's a father. Did you notice that Jesus came to give us a revelation of God and who he's meant to be to us? What name did Jesus call God? Father. That's all. Father. Every word he used was Abba. When you walk into your own home, you're a bona fide child in that house. There is food in the kitchen. You enter and collect with boldness. Somebody's telling me, Pastor, don't try my mother. That's why God is not your mother. And your mother is not God. Go to verse 6. Go to your neighbor. Come on, let's do this. Go to your neighbor and read. Read that well. Want to go? Only what? So, when you're asking the giving God, there is an element that will determine whether that prayer will work. Make sure that that prayer must be in faith. Read that to your neighbor one more time. Want to go? Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering. No what? No wavering. No what else? No what else? So pray in faith. Hello. When you are praying and you notice your doubt, and stop praying. Immediately. Stop. Don't say, let me pray. Maybe as I'm praying. No. Stop praying. Stop praying. Do either of these two things at that moment. One, faith comes by hearing. And hearing, start hearing the word of God. Get a message that will address that place. You need to hear something. Get a message. Start listening. Or get worship. One thing is, if you're trying to hear God and you've not heard, there is one thing I know that never fails. Worship. Once you start worshiping, God speaks. Get worship. You can make a playlist. And as you're worshiping, you sing and then start praying in tongues. Don't ever continue praying when you notice you're not so sure. There is a shaking in your heart. It's wavering a little. Don't do it. Stop immediately. It's wasted prayer. It won't work. Never pray in fear. So a whole lot of time people are shouting, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. What is fear? That shout is out of fear. I'm like, you save me now before I die, oh. Save me now. It's like, go do something, don't say that, but it won't finish now. Beware of doing anything while doubting. Because the man who tries while doubting has already failed before he began. If you doubt, you sink. If you fear, you sink. Those that walk on water walk by faith. So stop immediately. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitation, no doubting. Now, see the reason why he's telling us. Continue. Hold that neighbor. Read it to that neighbor once again. One, two, go. I'm not hearing you. Hesitate. Is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. Somebody said the wave of the sea. Tossed around by the wind. He's like this. Wave. He rises. He goes down. Rising and falling. Rising and falling. He blows hot. He goes cold. Wave. Tossed about. Look at the next verse. Keep holding that neighbor. Don't lose that hand. Those hands are one to go. Shout it loud. Let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. Daydreaming. Once there is doubt in the heart, it no go work. I'm telling you, don't go and be imagining it will work. It no go work. It doesn't work. It's the prayer of faith. Somebody say prayer of faith. And prayer in faith. That works. That works. That's what works. So are there times that people doubt? Yes. The devil attacks the hearts of people with doubt. The devil tempts people with fear, with different things. What you do is, when you sense some form of doubt while you're praying, there is no assurance. There are two things that is going on there. Number one, your heart is not yet very convinced that what you're praying for is the absolute will of God. So you need to stop. Go and get messages. Go and get a Christian literature from an authority, that from pastors' messages to pastors' books. Many of them will be coming out this year by the grace of God. And then you get the ones that pastor will always recommend for you. Because every voice is not your voice. And then you listen. You read at that moment. So I didn't just say go to the Bible. That's not the first thing I said. Because you're already doubting at that moment. You should have been in the Bible before then. So you need the giftings and the anointing of men that God will use to communicate and impart the spirit of faith at that moment. And through the message of anointed men, their books, their writings, there is a spirit that will be imparted. I'll be stirred up in you. Now, when that happens, you can now go back to the scriptures. And you'll find out that the same scriptures you read before and didn't make a meaning, now makes a better meaning. How many of you have finished listening to pastor and certain scriptures you read before now makes better meaning to you? You now believe more. Is that right? So that's why we teach you that way. You will still go back to the scriptures. But this time around, when you're now meditating, layers will be opened. Layers upon layers, depths will be revealed to you. That's the way it works. The second thing I said you should do is get to worship and pray in tongues. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy, praying in the Spirit. And there is a praying in the Holy Spirit that happens with the understanding. But at this moment, you were doubting. You were wavering in your heart. So you don't need the engagement of the mind. The mind should be unfruitful in this one. Because doubt comes from the mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Wave your hands if you're getting me. So what you do is you close your eyes. You worship. You pray in tongues. You pray in tongues. If you combine these three, listening to messages, meditating on the scriptures, and worshiping and praying in tongues, if you combine them before you're through. In fact, there is one more element. It's called fasting. Before you're through, the same prayer you were trying to pray. Father, please. Father, please. You will not be doing Father. You'll be roaring. In the name of Jesus, I demand. I lay hold.
I covet. In the name of Jesus, I release. I cancel. Commands will start coming out of your mouth. Boldness of faith. There is boldness of righteousness, but there is audacity of faith. Not wavering. So you're coming to God, you're praying, you're not saying, and the Lord said, what do you want? Before he says, what do you want? You have finished saying it. You're definite. You know exactly what it is. You're not, Lord, I know you want to bless me. Oh, it's just that I've been waiting for this blessing. Can I just ask you, out of that wealth you get for me, can you borrow me just 1 million? 1 million before the due season. Make I see where I go use it. I don't go die, God. No, you won't pray like that. You won't pray talking to your Father who loves you. Talking to your Father who has bestowed glory and honor upon you. And you're talking like a pauper. Talking out of ignorant, false piety, bending neck as if you're a beggar. When you are a child of a king and you talk to your Father as a beggar, you insult the grace of your Father. Bending your neck doesn't impress God. What impresses God is faith. For without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So whoever wants to please God, pleases him by believing him and confessing what he believes and acting what he believes. Is that right? That's how you please God. You don't please God by acting like a reed. Have you seen a chicken beaten by rain outside and cold is catching it? Don't approach God that way. Let not that man imagine that he will receive anything from God if he does not pray in faith. Pray in faith. And faith has an attitude. Mr. Emeka, stand. Come. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to imagine right now. You know, the Bible spoke about in the scriptures how the glory of God filled the temple. And the priest couldn't minister because the Shekinah glory has filled the temple. I want you to just imagine right now that you are in the very presence of God before the throne of God. Right now. That God granted you grace and you are just in the very presence before the very throne of God. And you're giving just a minute within this moment to praise him and to worship him. Now do it now. Stop. Close your eyes one more time. Lift your hands. Now, imagine that you are in the very presence of God before his throne. And imagine that his hand is coming upon you. This is the problem. I want you to know what the problem is. When two of you and three of you gather in my name, you can gather for anything else. Even as church members, you can gather for the departmental meeting. That doesn't concern me. You can gather and gossip as church members.
It doesn't concern me. You can gather and talk about church politics. But if you gather in my name to call upon me, to worship me, and I'm the reason you gathered, and you do what you do in my name, my spirit is there in your midst. Faith is the evidence that he never lies. That when he says he's there, he's there. I don't have to feel him. I don't have to see him. I don't have to hear him physically. I either walk by faith or I walk by sight, but I can't walk by both. I believe that thing he said is there, is the evidence is there. And then I believe it. When you believe that you're talking to God, your attitude will change. When I see the way you pray, I already know whether it will be answered or not. That's why you see some of us will lift our hands, trembling, tears. When we see us pray, you'll be wondering, how can a man be so close to God? No, he's the privilege and right of every son of God. Not something set apart for a few. No, he's just that son. Talk to him in faith. It's not religion for them. It's not a prayer they pray. It's not what was written so they can pray. Even if it's a prayer written, they say it and they mean the words. It comes from the depths of the heart. And they know that God is hearing it. And they know it's God they are praying to. When I say the hand of the Lord is touching you, if you believe it, young man, if you know what just happened to you, then your level has changed. You will hear his news. You will hear his news. Remember, I can be eating and the Spirit of Lord will inspire me to just, you know, hum some worship. So I can be driving. But when I'm in that place of consecration, that set apart with him, what attitude? In church, what attitude? So you call it opening prayer. And because it's opening prayer, and someone is saying, the prayer is, in this service, every miracle God ordained for us to receive comes to me. I receive them in the name of Jesus. Guess what? The music guys are doing fian fian, and the prayer is going on fian fian. The worship leader is doing, ushers are trying to check their, and that is the prayer going on. You now see why church workers are frustrated after some years. And some people now feel very entitled. I know, if you were in church for pros, there are 5 major mindsets, spirits of failure, right? The first one is the spirit of irresponsibility. What's the second one? Spirit of entitlement. So you see it blame after I have worked for God. Then it moves from blame to bitterness, anger. I came out with nothing. I served. I came out with nothing. I did this. I came out with nothing. And yet, the Bible says, for it is from him you receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. While you were serving in the church is the Lord Christ. The question, was it done in faith? King of Zion, Judah's lion, Jesus. I sang that song right now. Sit down, don't worry. I sang that song right now, and the portals of revelations opened. Just, I sang it because I sang it in faith. And the Lord said, now tell them that I reign over everything they would have been afraid of. What is it? What name? What title does it bear? He is the head of all principalities. He is the head of all power. He is the head of every title. Every, they are all under his feet. And he's not just the head for him to boast. He is the head over all of them to the church. We are now his body, so we can exercise the same authority over those principalities. What is that thing that the devil has tried to use to mock you or mock your friend? That the devil has tried to use to bring accusations or to hurl insults and disrespect? Where is that place that you may have experienced this honor or your family? You take this kind of song and you sing it in faith. Reign, Jesus, reign. And as you're singing it, the portals of revelations are open. Light starts shining from within your heart. And you begin to see the power of God over that thing. Suddenly, the mountain of a man, the mountain of a giant, the mountain of horns, the Goliath of life will come down with just a stone. Just a stone, just a sling and a stone. Suddenly, you find out that he that is with God is more than he that is with majority. You find out that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You start singing that song. And you notice the fear is no longer there. You know the power of God. The power of God will defy this one too. The power of God will break the bows and the arrows of the enemy too. The power of God will break the scepter of the wicked too. You just know that sickness, the power of God will be made manifest. You just know the glory of God will turn things around. When we start doing things, not doubt, in faith. But I don't want to leave you here today in this without talking to us about the fourth element, which is a tool that ensures that you pray in faith. Fourth tool of effective prayer is you pray according to the word and the will of God. Pray. Don't pray against the will of God. Pray according to the will of God. So number one, the boldness of righteousness. Number two, the earnestness and fervency of prayer. Number three, pray in faith, not doubting. Number four, pray according to the word and the will of God. I learned this from Papa Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory. He said that every time he wanted to pray and he was not very certain about the mind of God and the will of God concerning what he wants to pray for, he would stop praying and first of all go into the word of God and find out the will of God concerning that thing he wants to pray about before he now starts praying. So that his prayer will be in agreement with God's will and not in violation or contradictory to God's will. The Bible said we should not be foolish We should not be unwise, unlearned, but we should understand what the will of God is. So anywhere you want to acquire wisdom, find out what the will of God is. What's the will of God concerning this? About the children I'm believing God for. My wife is pregnant. And I'm looking at 9 months. And I'm envisioning the birth of my baby or my babies. What's the will of God? Give me Psalm 113 verse 9. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. But give me the NLT so you see it. Everybody join me. One to go. He gives the childless woman a family, making her a happy mother. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. It means the weapon God will use to bring your baby is praise. Let he that was called barren begin to rejoice. It won't come with pain, it will come with rejoicing. Did you hear Mama's testimony? 1 month midnight praise for 30 days. 30 days midnight praise. You get to the place where somebody say, hey, yeah, we are praying for you. It no longer touches you. No. When someone touches you and you flinch, it means there is a wound there. You're healed already. You're now in faith. You're now in the reality that what you've believed is now yours. Praise starts coming forth from you. Everybody, read and read out loud. One to go. He honors the childless wife in her home. He makes her happy by giving her children. Everyone that desires children, hear me, it is the will of God that when we start praying, satisfy me early, that one of the ways he will make you happy this year is by giving you your children. If you want to take it, take. You have anyone you're believing for, go and let them know. But there can't be a shadow of doubt. You have to get to a place, there is no shadow of doubt. God's grace provides for the barren ones. I love this one because so many times in a family, it's not the woman, it's the man. So low sperm count and no sperm count, no one terrifies God. God will not call a committee to fix it. He gives life to the dead and calls things that be not. No fallopian tube, nothing. No uterus, nothing. It doesn't terrify God. Past age, no. Past ovulation, no more ovulation. It doesn't terrify God. None of them is hard for him to handle. But the first thing first is that you have to be in that place where you know that this is the will of God. Undoubtedly, God's grace provides for the barren ones a joyful home with children, so that even childless couples find a family. He makes them happy parents, surrounded by their pride and joy. Whatever brought shame to you or anyone connected to you, in the same place they will rejoice in their portion. Instead of shame, you have double. That's what God told us in Super Fortissimo. I'm a believer. I say I'm a believer. I say I'm a believer. That's the God we praise. So give it all to him. Stop complaining. Stop shedding tears. You've cried for long. Stop running from pillar to post. Stop looking for solution. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the final bus stop. Let's look at another one. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, first. Oh, that neighbor, be the voice of the Lord to that neighbor and read that loud. One to go. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be what? Or what? Barren among you, or even your pets. That blessing extends to your pets. Extends if you're into animal husbandry, animal farming, it extends to all of it. If there is life, even to your crops. When you go to Deuteronomy 28 and see the terms of the blessing, it says, blessed is thy basket. In case all you have is inside the basket. In case all your business is inside the basket, God said, blessed is thy basket. From that basket, it will become storehouse. So see verse 15. There shall be. That's a decree. There shall be. Not there may not be. No, there shall be no a decree. So when we hear about the decrees of the watchers in heaven, when they make a decree, they can't contradict this. They can only decree what the Lord has written. Nobody can rewrite this. I believe. Don't give up, oh, don't give up. Don't give up. I pray that everybody I said should be in church today was in church. And I pray they are hearing this message. Read verse 15 and read it out loud. Want to go? One more time. And the Lord will take away from you. How many sickness? Let me hear. That you were born with it. Is it permitted to be in your life? That it was genetical from great grandparents to grandparents. Is it permitted to remain in your life and in your family? How many sickness is permitted? None. And we afflict you with what? None. So anytime you see any symptom, it's not the will of God. There is no will of God there. An enemy is doing it. Don't sit down and be begging God. Charge at the devil. Charge! Stop looking for who will pray for me. Charge! You foul spirit of pain! Take your hands off my body. My body is not your playground. You thief. You are not the sick. He's trying to steal it into your body. Tell him not here. Somebody say, not in my life. Body say, not in my life. For those of us who are pregnant, and all of us who have pregnant relatives, let's look at Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God. So if I were the person, I will put praise, one spiritual sacrifice. What's the next one? Serve. Serve. Tell the person to come and serve. You shall serve the Lord your God. Hey, I can't do physical thing now because of the pregnancy like I can. Can they give me names of new converts? Can they give me names of first timers? I'll be making calls to follow them up. I can serve in one way or what? The other. I can pray. I can do things. I have a gift. I can start writing for the church once a week. I can design. I can do. Where can I fit in? So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Watch this. And I will take sickness away from your midst. Look at the next verse, verse 26. Read and read. One to go. I'm not hearing you. Louder. I will fulfill the number of her day. I lift my hands in the presence of the Lord, and I decree the decree of the watchers, and I decree today and declare in Lamb Global, all our partners and followers and affiliates, all who are connected to us, no one shall suffer miscarriage. None of my daughters, none of our children shall suffer miscarriage. No one shall be barren. No one will be cut short in their pride. The number of our days are fulfilled. In the name of Jesus. Give me Isaiah chapter 66 verse 9. Lord, satisfy every expectant woman, every expectant man, every expectant family in land. Make them joyful parents of children this year. Satisfy them early this year. Satisfy them early this year. Satisfy them early this year. Lord, satisfy every pregnant woman carrying baby or babies. Ayekete, will you bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? None shall suffer miscarriage in the name of Jesus. None of the children will be tampered with in the stomach, in the womb, in the name of Jesus. All the children are born whole, healthy and hearty and strong, perfect in the name of Jesus. You foul spirits of hell, we bind you, we bind you, we bind you. You that interfere with babies in the womb, not here, not in the life of any of my daughter, any of our mothers, any of our relatives, we bind and forbid your work. Get out! Read, want to go. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery? Say so. Shall I cause delivery?
Any womb that was shut in the name of Jesus, I decree the decree of the Lord. Be open now! Seed of sperm that was dead, I decree the decree of the Lord. Come alive now.
Lekarataya kataya. Elebagala baba baba. Lord, should I do it? What about our work? Give me Psalm 90 verse 17. What about our work? What about our work? Everybody read. One, two, go.
Be upon us and establish what?
The work of our hands. For us, yes, establish the work of our hands. Somebody said the will of God.
I'm starting out this year by divine speed. You're established. Every business still shaking. Some of you here, I've been a bit confused. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Today you try out this one. Tomorrow you try out this one. This is the year of clarity, definition, and establishment.
This is the year of settlement. And it's not happening in the middle of the year. Lift your hands. Say, Father, satisfy me early. Psalm 128 verse 1 and 2. We are coming somewhere. Pay attention. That's why when you want to see the power of God, the anointing of God, the blessing of God on your walk, please don't play games. Don't steal. Don't defraud people. Fear God. Everybody read. One to go. Bless is everyone who fears the Lord. Who walks. When you receive an increase, give him the first fruit of your. When he gives you blessings, go and put it tight. Give him back, walk in his ways. Stop arguing nonsense. Stop only making arguments when it is your responsibility to give to God's work. Do what pleases the Lord. If you give faithfully your giving, and the church gets a new generator, and we don't have to have the generator going off, will God be displeased that you gave? Or will he be pleased that you gave? You see that? Stop making arguments that is against the prosperity of God's work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Walk in his ways. Look at verse 2. Alabalakata. Lengalaba. This is the will of God for every man that fears him. Everybody want to go. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. This year, you shall eat the fruit of your labor. This year, you shall eat of the labor of your hands. You shall eat of the labor of your souls. You shall eat of your investment. This last one, Isaiah 65, verse 21 to 24. Pay attention to this one. This one, stay on it for some days. Stay on it for some days. Watch this. They shall build houses and inhabit them. LWC. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Lost sons for life. For the days, not any kind of tree. So you hear these. Tree is 100 and something years. This tree is 200 years. So shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long. Watch this. Long enjoy the work of their hands. Satisfy me with the works of my hands, with the fruit of my labor. I am satisfied with the fruit of my labor. Look at verse 23. You better shout this one loud with me. Want to go? They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. Hey! 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 I don't bring up rebellious children. I don't bring up strange children. I bring up men and women of glory, of honor, of faithfulness, of faith, of power. Hey, agagagagaga. I and the children the Lord has given me, we are for signs and wonders. Look at verse 24. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, one, two, go. You better read the will of God again. One, two, go. One more time. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking. So when we say pray according to the word, Listen, James 4 says they don't have because they don't ask. Then he says, some ask, but they don't receive. Not just because they are doubt, but they pray amiss. Misfired prayers. They will spend what they want. So what they are praying is they are lost, not God's will. So see 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Is that not what Jesus said to his disciples? In John chapter 15, verse 7. You abide in me and my word abides in you. Ask anything you want. Because I know my word abiding in you, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You will always pray my word. Ask anything, it will be done. You will notice your prayers going sam-sam. Sam-sam. It's not the shout. It's not the hours. No. Is sometimes the shout is there, but the shout is because it's the heart. You're hearing a shout because the heart is shouting. It's the fervency, and then is the substance. The substance of prayer is the will of God. When God taught me this, I've never had unanswered prayers. Once I learned this, every prayer I pray, I've always received the answers. The manifestations don't all come at the same time or exactly sometimes when I want it. Sometimes it happens before I even expect it to happen. But there has not been one prayer I prayed that God has not answered. The audacity that comes from it, the boldness. I want you to look at, everybody read, want to go. So before you call, I'll hear. But what is it that I hear? My will. Look at verse 15. And if we know he hears, whatever we ask, we know. We have the petition. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness, which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request, according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, he listens to and hears. Ask your neighbor, did you get it now? Look at the next verse. Oh, you better read this one. Very boldly, want to go. We positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask. We also know with what? With what? What do we have absolute knowledge of? That we have granted us as what? Granted us as what? The request. Once your heart is convinced beyond any doubt that what you're asking is God's will, your heart will receive the answer without doubt. Whatever you do now, I'm giving you a minute because I need to close now. When you get home, start praying more. Every vision God has given us be completed by grace. My hand starts it. My hand started it. My hand is finishing it, completing it by grace. Every building you started, every business you started, that is according to God's will and God's plan. LWC, our hands started it. Our hands are completing it by the grace of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare by the word of the Lord through his servant this year, this February, I'm having my first big leap, first big quantum leap. This ministry is having this. I am satisfied early with the message of the Lord, with the goodness of the Lord, with the blessing of the Lord. I am satisfied early. I am satisfied early with the favors of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Epalagata. Thank you, Lord. Now lift your hands and give him thanks. Because of time, we've got to close. But just give him thanks. You can continue at home. Continue in your office. Continue wherever you are. Continue through this weekend. We've set it. And listen, when you're praying, pray, Lord, in tongues. Your mind is still undergoing surgery. There are things is not yet revealed to it. Pray a lot in tongues. Pray. Pray in tongues and then pray with your understanding also. Understanding is also added. But pray chiefly a lot. And you know, there is speaking in tongues. And there is praying in tongues. There is not sin. You can just be exercising your spirit, speaking in tongues, talking to God, doing other things. I'm talking about that set apart time. There is no distraction. You're praying and you watch and pray. You're observing. You're praying to see what he will say. Praying to receive something. So you are, all your attention is focused on that. Pray, Lord. Lift your hands. Father, pour afresh a baptism with the spirit of grace and of prayer on everyone, not just those of us who are here, but that through us this fire will spread, not just in Lamb Global, but all over the body of Christ and to the nations. A fresh baptism. A fresh baptism, Lord, with a spirit of prayer, the spirit of grace. Thank you for what you've done. We'll never thank you enough. In Jesus' name, give him praise. You better give him praise. If you mean it, give him praise. If you mean it, give him praise. If you mean it, give him praise.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.